Thanks, Jen DeSalvo. Hey, everybody. It's us. It's Bill and Wendy. Welcome to the show. Want to call us? Want to text us?
Welcome back.
Welcome back, Wendy. You know what I've noticed? I'm sure you noticed this, too. It's easy to notice. There are piles of candy everywhere.
Can I tell you, I'm officially sick of chocolate.
Well, that's impossible.
No.
That is impossible.
I'm not,
be honest. You're not sick of chocolate.
I eat it because it's here.
Yeah.
I mean, you see me eat it almost every day.
Yeah.
And I don't typically have sweets. My dad was a diabetic. My mom never had any kind of sweets in the house because she was worried we'd get diabetes. I don't even know if that's how that happens.
No.
So I don't really have a sweet tooth, but if it's there, I'll have it.
Sure.
I have been noshing on candy for the last 2 weeks.
Piled up everywhere. At work, on your way home, at home.
Because nobody had any trick-or-treaters.
I did.
It was such a crappy day.
I had nothing left.
yesterday, crazy. I was in one of your pharmacy chains. So that's
what you did on your day off.
Yeah, I spent
Boy,
the whole time.
Fun.
I went from pharmacy chain to pharmacy chain. It's my day off, Wendy. I can do what I want.
Jeez.
So what's more fun than going from Costco to CVS to Walgreens and then starting it all over again? I just enjoy that. And one of them, I'm not going to say which one, has a row where it's Halloween candy, 70% off.
Oh, now it's 70.
So you can buy, honestly, you can buy a bag that's 2 feet tall for $1.50 or $3 or $2 or whatever. And I didn't get anything, you know, because I'm on my no sugar.
Yeah.
I'm not having sugar. And I just walked down the aisle and I started to tear up, just thinking, if this were any other circumstance, I'd be making out like a bandit. I would have so much candy, it would be insane.
Why don't you buy it now and then the day of your birthday,
yeah,
you can eat
go
it all.
Crazy on it. I could do that. I don't. The purpose of this, of not eating sugar, is to really rid myself of it. So all I can do is reminisce fondly about the deliciousness that is candy, but it's just so strange to see so much of it and just not be able to have any of it.
It's not what it's set out to be. It's not worth it.
No.
It isn't. I'm just so burned on it. You know,
you use the phrase, I'm sick of chocolate. That's an American is what that is. That is not an American phrase.
I guess. I have to tell you, as an adult, I noticed one thing. I could purchase a candy bar whenever I want.
Yeah.
When you're a kid,
right,
you can't just, you know, run
right
to 7-Eleven
right
or drive there.
Right.
You have to ask your parents for money.
There's a lot of paperwork.
Yeah, so yeah. Halloween's great for a kid because that's like carte blanche to just go nuts. But as an adult, I realize I can go buy a Big Cat if I want it whenever I want it.
I wonder who the first person, like we all know who the first guy on the moon was, right? But I wonder who the first person was to think, all right, when people are leaving a grocery store, let's do a thing where it's a giant stand of 80 different kinds of candies. We'll just put it right there. Right as they're leaving, we'll just show them every kind of candy they've ever imagined, and we'll just put it up on a candy wall as they're checking out. Because that guy or that girl, that was a genius.
I'm telling you, that's when I typically buy it, because I usually go to the grocery store hungry.
Right.
And then, you know, you don't want to tap into the salami or the
right
brick cheese.
Right.
So you're like, oh, yeah, all right, I'll just get that.
You've been walking around a store for 25 minutes, and then all of a sudden, as you're checking out, you see the finish line. It's right. The finish line is right in front of you, and you look over and you go, I didn't know they made that kind of M&Ms. I got to try those.
I know.
I'll take a couple of bags of those.
The cold drinks, too, get me. Like, I'm buying soda. I can
right
wait till I get home.
Right. But they were so smart. Put it right there. Put it right at the end. Who will be able to say no to that?
And the National Enquirer.
The National Enquirer.
For God's sakes.
You can read a story about Lisa Marie Presley, and you can enjoy a marathon bar. It's
What's
perfect.
What's she up to lately?
Oh, Wendy. You don't want to know. You don't want to know. You were telling me there was a psychic on the show yesterday.
Yes.
A medium or a psychic, or are they the one and the same?
She's a medium, because I told her I was a large.
Did you say that?
Yeah. She didn't laugh.
That's genius. Come on. You should have hung up on her if she didn't laugh at that. This is obviously not going to go well. Click.
No, I believe in this stuff. I know people don't, and people do.
Yeah.
It's a grief conference that's going on November 16th in Naperville. Jazz, if you can just give me the information on it, just to briefly throw it out there. I'm telling you, I know a bunch of people that have lost their kids.
Yeah.
It's heartbreaking. I have lost both my parents, and I not recently, but when you lose someone you love, sometimes you need comfort and sometimes you seek it in different ways.
Don't you think, though, I know how negative this will sound, don't you think that there are some people that might exploit that?
Yes, I totally do.
Yeah.
She is not the only person at this grief counseling thing. There are various experts. It's just interesting to me. And, you know, we've all had dreams about our loved ones that have passed.
Yes.
Sometimes you have a coincidence that, you know, I don't know. Sometimes I believe maybe that is them saying, hey, I'm looking out for you.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Mm-hmm. I don't have the answers.
Mm-hmm.
But I had this crazy reaction when she got on the phone yesterday. I was working with Dane, and I told him this off the air and then brought it up on the air. As soon as I heard her voice, I was overwhelmed by a rush of emotion. Like my heart, I had butterflies in my stomach, and my heart started beating a little bit, and I felt like I was going to cry.
As soon as you, like, immediately, right out of the box, hello, she says hello, and you feel this way. What do you think is behind that?
I don't know. I felt, and then I brought that up to her, and she said that, you know, she has a connection to people I have lost, and maybe the lines of communication are open, and I was feeling that vibe. I really, truly can't explain it.
That's interesting. I've never heard that before.
It was very bizarre.
Uh-huh.
So
and did it intensify the more you talked to her? Did it get deeper and richer?
Kind
or did
of.
It just, it did?
Either that or I was going to have a heart attack, one or the other. I did
That's
have
very strange.
An iced coffee from Dunkin' Donuts with real sugar in it, and they put a lot of sugar and it was all at the bottom. That might have something to
that
do with it.
That could have played into it.
But, Bill, with all the candy I've been eating here,
yeah.
I think I'm used to sugar.
Yeah,
it right, was maybe. A very unexplained thing, and I felt the need to tell her about it.
So when you told her that, did she say something along the lines of, oh, other people have told me this?
Yeah,
or
something
oh,
like
yeah?
that. Yeah.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah,
oh.
That's sometimes that happens kind of thing.
Oh.
So it was very interesting to me. It's called the Renew Conference, Chicago's first ever grief and healing conference. November 16th, Chicago Marriott, Naperville. Stacy Lynn Cripps is a spiritual medium and mentor. And she's going to talk about she's going to be there, and there are other experts that will be there as well.
Again, I know this will sound negative, and I'm not trying to discredit her or anybody
yesterday.
Else. I know, because I don't know. I don't know how that would have gone. One of the investigative shows, you know how they do 48 hours?
Yeah.
Or all right. So
can you hold your thought?
Yeah, I can hold my thought.
Because we have an EAS test that we have to get to on time.
All
I know you studied hard last night. Write that down so you don't forget where you were going.
All right.
All right.
I can do that for
it's
you.
Bill, it's Wendy, and what size are you?
Extra medium.
Okay. It's WGN.
Here's a strange text, Wendy. Wendy, I have a deep connection to people from your past. Send me $100.
Well, I have to get the fuzzy vibe feelings.
You didn't get that text. Didn't
wait, let me read it myself.
All right, see what happens.
Nothing.
You're not going to send any money.
Not feeling anything.
If you're just joining us, we're talking about yesterday's show. I was out yesterday, so I didn't get a chance to hear any of this, but there was a psychic or a medium, or is it the same thing?
I don't really know
the same thing or not. They were on the show yesterday. As soon as this woman spoke, Wendy, you said you felt some strange ethereal connection to her.
A little bit.
Yeah? All right. All right. So here, do I have time to tell this, or are we short on time?
I don't know. I think we have 3 minutes.
Oh, all right.
You can continue it after the EAS test.
I'll tell you as much of it as I can do, and then if you need to stop me for the EAS test, just do it.
Okay.
All right. A couple of years ago, one of the investigative television shows, you know, these are the shows that devote an hour and sometimes 2 hours to a specific topic, and they try their best to explain what's going on. It's some story that happened, and they tell you the ins and outs that maybe you're not aware of. All right. So they were doing an investigative report about people who channel people's loved ones who have died. And they were kind of just blowing the cover off of this. You know, I know you think you're giving money to a good cause, but here's the way they do. Here are the tricks of the trade. And in one of the stories they did, they had one of your top spiritualists was explaining how he has the ability to go into a room and find people's loved ones who have died. And he said, I'm getting a name. It starts with a J. It might be Jim. It might be John. Is there somebody who's lost somebody recently whose name starts with a J, Jim or John? And about half the hands go up in the room. So then all of a sudden he's telling stories and nobody's hand is going up, but there's a cameraman there and the cameraman is crying. And they say to him, why are you crying? And he goes, well, everything you just described is my dad and he died about a year and a half ago and I feel this strong connection to him. And everything you said, even though the audience isn't picking up on it, everything you said resonates with me, every single word. So they're trying to figure out how this is possible. So then they say to the guy, did you have any conversations with this guy at all prior to you feeling all these things? And he goes, just a real brief conversation. And they go, well, what happened in that conversation? He goes, I told him that my dad had died just over a year ago and what he did for a living and stuff like that. And they said, well, why are you crying? And he said, well, it just, when he said it, it just felt so real. He felt like he was
here.
He gave
him his own information.
He gave him all the information.
See, I got a weird little feeling when you were explaining that that guy was touched by it.
Well, the mastery that this particular guy had was extracting that information without you knowing it.
Right.
You know, he was so light about it and so easy about it that he could get all that information from you and you don't even realize you gave him that information.
I understand, and I really do not think it's right for people to take advantage of someone in a serious situation of grief. But I do kind of believe in some of this.
And for the record, I really spend no time trying to talk anybody out of that. If somebody finds comfort in that,
exactly,
by all means, go for it.
Hold your thought. We're going to take our emergency alert system test. I hope you pass. Stay tuned. And we're back. I do want to mention, too, that the medium did end the conversation by thanking Dane and Lisa, which was me.
Lisa?
But she did say that she had a connection to Prince, and there was Wendy and Lisa, so she got the Prince's cohorts mixed up. I know, it was kind of bad timing on her part.
Yeah, probably would have been more convincing if she got your name right.
But, you know, it's
maybe
weird.
She's better with people who have passed on than people that are still on the earth, maybe.
It's just a very strange situation because really when you need comfort the most, some people turn to booze, cigarettes, marijuana.
Yeah.
You know, that's
You've
not.
You've tried all those and now it's time to move on to
just
something.
Just this morning. But so, you know, that's not necessarily good for you. And some would think that's a waste of money. If you talking to someone like this comforts
right.
you, then that's your business.
That's why I never spend any time trying to talk anybody out of it. Because I do see people who are very, very upset, obviously, for losing somebody close to them. And then they'll see one of these people and they come back with a smile on their face. And you go, okay, that's the reason they're there.
That is.
You're feeling better about it. So good.
And, you know, I've had some psychics before say that I will never have any kids.
That's harsh.
Yeah, I know. That was weird because I only have one ovary. So
yeah.
I said, you know, usually one ovary compensates for the other one. Will I ever be able to get pregnant? And I was in my, I don't know, 20s, maybe 30s when I asked. No, 20s. And this person was like, no, I don't see children in your life. And I had two.
I believe they owe you money back.
Maybe they're not mine.
Right?
That would I know?
I hadn't even considered that. Yeah, I bet they're not yours. All right, problem solved. That was easy. All right, I think I've told you this. I'm almost positive I have, but years ago I worked for this company. It was called America's Talking. What they did is they had this contest, this nationwide contest to find somebody, and the prize was they were going to get their own national talk show on their network, America's Talking. So I went from city to city, and I was part of the audition process to help people formulate their talk shows. So in Boston, there was this lady that was a spiritualist and a medium, and she wowed the audience with these tricks. And I could tell they were tricks because I know how she was doing them. She had a plant in the audience who was asking her questions, and she was answering these questions. And it was masterful. I mean, I've seen it done before, but nobody did it better than this lady. When the show was over, she came to me backstage, and she said, how do you think I did? And I said, you did great. And she goes, but you don't believe in me, do you? And I go, I know that it's show business. You did what you needed to do. You convinced the audience. You convinced the judges. You were fantastic. That's all you need to know. She goes, I don't understand why you don't believe in me. I said, because I've seen what you do before. I know how you do it, but you do it really, really well. As she's leaving, she turns back and she goes, your grandmother Mary watches over you. Which is...
Is that your grandma's name?
My grandmother had died a couple years before I was born. This is my mom's mother. Her name was Mary. So...
Okay, now I'm getting that feeling again.
Right. So I've asked people, how did that happen?
Okay, I don't know. And what's their answer?
I don't know how that happened. The most common answer is people have said to me, well, judging by your age, you probably had a grandmother named Mary or some form of Mary.
I didn't.
No, not everybody does. Right. But it was, I mean, that was the most common name of the of somebody our age.
That's still, yeah, you can defend it all you want. That's creepy.
I still write it up as creepy. I don't know how she pulled that off. And this was pre-internet. This is just before the internet where you could look up somebody's lineage and find out almost everything you want about them.
Yeah. Now she would be giving you information of Bill Left, the aerial stunt pilot.
That's true.
Because you can Google
that's
that.
True.
You sure you're not the same person?
No, we're two different people. I'm positive of that.
Well, I believe in some of this stuff. You know, I don't know if I'd spend my money on it, but if I'm ever in a position where I need to be comforted, what's the harm?
Right. It's if you're getting out of it that, if you're coming away feeling better and feeling more assured, and if you're missing somebody and that person has provided some sort of a bridge, then it's been a success. Whether it's legit or not is questionable, but if it comes away making you or anybody else feel happy. I remember when I was growing up, Tinley Park had a psychic fair every year, and it was always in Bremerton Mall, and we'd always walk over, and we'd look at the people that were doing this and just going, wait, you have this gift, and you have this gift, and you have this gift? Like, there were 35 or 40 of them, just from card table to card table to card table, and you said, I'd always say, are you sure you can? Oh, yeah, that's what we do. We communicate with the dead. All right.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't, you know, I think we can all communicate with the dead at some point. I don't know. We get a vibe, something. I don't, just some of us don't try to profit off of
right.
it.
Right.
Whatever makes you happy. That's all I have to say. And somebody said they listened back to the podcast, and I guess she called me Lisa at the beginning of the interview,
she did.
Too. So maybe Dane was the one who didn't give her my right name.
Or maybe you're wrong.
Maybe.
Let's be honest.
I'll change my name.
It's easier. All right, let's do this. We'll take a break. We'll get you some news. And then there's a big full show ahead. So stay where you are. It's Bill and it's Wendy. Or is it Lisa on WGN? Thanks, Jen. It's Bill F. and it's Wendy Snyder. It is Tech Tuesday. So in a little while, we'll talk to Bridget Carey from CNET and find out what's going on in the world of technology. I know that yesterday, Wendy, while I was gone, you and Dane talked a little bit about what's going on over at Popeye's with their chicken sandwich.
Sunday it came back, and it was crazy town everywhere.
Are people really waiting an hour in line for a chicken sandwich that's not made up?
Super Joe from Cochran Show said that did he wait for like an hour and couldn't get one or something, Jazz? I don't remember what he said.
I think so, yeah.
On Sunday is when it was released, and people are, it was kind of intentional because Chick-fil-A is closed on Sunday.
Ah, oh, good move.
It is pretty good.
Very good move.
And on LaGrange Road and Countryside, I mean, Bill, traffic was stopped. I'm telling you, people were waiting in line for the drive-thru. The parking lot was full. Here's an idea. Just go back the next day.
Right.
And they were right. limiting you to one sandwich. So if you had a family of four.
One per person or one per order or one per what?
That I don't know. I had it before the hype even happened. It's awesome. I'm telling you.
But is it wait in line for an hour awesome?
I wouldn't wait in line for an hour for much.
No. No. I mean, I haven't had it. I'm going to pretend it's the best. Now, again, I've not had it. But let's say it's the best chicken sandwich of all time. Best I've ever had. Best I could ever imagine. Okay, but it wouldn't be worth waiting that long for.
Just give it a couple days and go get it. It's giant.
Right.
It's like you could almost split it with someone. It's that big. It is just this big, meaty breast, and I got the spicy one.
Yeah.
It was delicious. It really was absolutely delicious. I would not wait an hour for it.
Here's where things turn ugly, Wendy.
I knew this was going to happen.
A man was fatally stabbed Monday evening while inside a Maryland Popeyes following a fight over a chicken sandwich. Prince George County's police said that they received reports of a fight at a Popeyes location at 6200 Livingston Road in Oxon Hill, Maryland. This happened Monday night, just last night, at 7 p.m. Oxon Hill is located 20 minutes from Washington, D.C. The victim's name or age has not yet been released. Police said that the suspect is still on the run.
Jeez.
Detectives were at the fast food restaurant interviewing witnesses, gathering evidence, and looking at surveillance video on Monday to establish the suspect and the motive, according to police. Now, in other stories, they say what happened was one of the guys cut in front of the other guy in line. Evidently, at this particular, I don't know if it's like this at all, Popeye's Chicken, but at this particular one, they had two separate lines, one for regular orders and one for an order where you're going to get this new chicken sandwich.
That's smart.
So, yeah, in theory, it is smart. It didn't play out well. So one of the guys cuts in front of the other guy, and then when both guys were leaving the store later, they continued their fight. One of them had a knife and stabbed the guy and killed the guy with a knife over a chicken sandwich.
That's disgusting.
Yeah.
Now, I do not like when people cut in line.
No one does. No one does.
I hate to say it, when you're the beneficiary of it, Jimmy Mack is a kind of a good line cutter.
Meaning what? What does that mean?
He will go into a line and start talking with the people. Like if he decides he's going to get behind the guy in the red hat.
Yeah.
He will talk to the people behind the red hatted guy. And so the guy with the red hat then thinks, oh, they know him.
Oh. He just drifts into the line.
It's kind of pretty amazing. And I'm like, no, I'm not going to. All right, well.
Wow.
I know. I can't remember the last time he did it.
Because he will be stabbed.
I hate line cutters. I really do. It's so frustrating.
I've mentioned this. Two different grocery stores that I go to have a thing where there's an express line. There's a series of express lines, but they all kind of feed off of one line.
Right. There's one major line to feed into the various registers.
You wait in that line, and then when one of the five or six registers open up, register four is now open. So then you go to register four. So on more than one occasion, I've seen people kind of mingling around that line, and then they quickly, if someone's not paying attention, dart in.
Yeah, that
doesn't go over well.
There should be a security guard there.
Yes.
The express line security guard, because it happens all the time.
Right, right. And I know I told you this story, but last year on Black Friday, one of my daughters, Reese, and I were at Oak Brook, and there was a gigantic line, and by gigantic, I mean 15 or 20 people deep to get to the registers. And somebody and their girlfriend just waited patiently to when nobody was paying attention and just found themselves at the front of that line.
Jimmy Mack has a girlfriend?
Jimmy Mack and his girlfriend, Wendy. There, I said
Damn.
It. I hope you're happy. You got me to divulge the secret that I've been holding back for 11 months.
You broke the guy code, dude.
Yeah, I did. I guess I did.
Yeah, that would... Now, did you say anything?
I was in a very holiday mood that day. Normally, if I'm by myself, I do something, but one of my daughters was there. I didn't want to say anything, but other people were not happy about it. And everybody was trying to, hey, did that guy just cut in line with you? Yeah, I think he did. Nobody did anything about it, but we were all aware of it. And that guy had this, he was standing very, very proud, like, hey, we pulled it off. We just saved ourselves 45 minutes in a line.
And somebody I read in the news yesterday, I got an alert that someone threw acid on another guy. Because,
in another Popeye's chicken?
No. This was separate. For a parking spot, which, again, cutting in line and taking someone's parking spot when you've been waiting for it.
Right.
But you know what? You flip them off, you go like that, and you move on. It's not worth killing someone
That's
over.
That's how it used to be. The flip-off doesn't mean what it used to mean. There was a time where that was the end. All right, flip-off, accepted, move on.
But now you have to flip off under the dashboard, because if they see it, that might escalate to something else as well.
I know. I just can't believe.
I know.
And what I mean, if you're Popeyes, you're riding so high off of this. If you're Popeyes chicken, you're going, look at what we've done. We've created nothing more than just a spicy chicken sandwich, but people are lined up a block long to get this chicken sandwich. You're just at the top of the world, and then all of a sudden, somebody dies because of a line for this chicken sandwich.
It's not their fault.
No, it's not their fault, but you say to yourself, what did we do? All we did was come up with a spicy chicken sandwich,
and now it's
bad publicity.
That is a bad story, Bill.
Yeah. Yep.
All right. We need to take a quick break, and it is a Tech Tuesday. We'll talk to Bridget Carey from CNET. That's all coming up.
Well done, Wendy. Very impressive. Bridget Carey's here, the senior editor over at CNET. Visit CNET.com. Bridget, you have an exclusive for us, a CNET exclusive, and it deals with the Super Bowl. Please tell us what it is.
Well, the Super Bowl of tech. I'm sorry to disappoint.
Oh, man.
We don't care. The Bears will never be in it as long as we're alive, I don't think.
it's what I was calling it, the Consumer Electronics Show, because it's just like the biggest thing in technology every year, where everyone gathers around the world into Las Vegas to see the newest gadgets. But there's something going on that has some folks worry, some human rights advocates and privacy advocates worried, because you have companies all over the world who make gadgets come here, and you got two Chinese surveillance companies who have been flagged by our U.S. government. They're not allowed to do business with U.S. Groups for what they've done. They've been flagged for human rights violations. And yet, at this big, giant gathering of tech products, they have won awards from the U.S.-based Consumer Electronics Group, you know, and they're, you know, being showcased at this thing at the convention center. And so this, some groups are saying, hey, time out. Like, why are we making it normal for companies who have, you know, done some things that are not good? You know, like, why are they allowed to be here if they're not allowed to do business in the U.S.? Why are we normalizing it? And, you know, if you've been blacklisted, essentially, from doing business with U.S. companies because of rights violations about surveillance overreach and really what they've done, in case you're not sure what I'm talking about, it has to do with hurting people who practice the Muslim faith in China, having their surveillance technology used to get, you know, keep watch over them. And you can read up about this stuff, but nevertheless, the group that puts on this tech show has been notified, like, hey, why are they winning awards? Why are they here? And a month has gone by, and they're not rethinking their decisions. So it's something that is interesting to think about and ponder when there are all these companies who come from all over the world, you know, and they're showcasing that they're tech, and, you know, are some being normalized? Like, hey, isn't this surveillance tech great? Like, we have to kind of always keep in the back of our mind where they come from, what they're doing, and kind of put things in perspective. Because sometimes everything's all shiny and new and bright, and, you know, it's not always, you know, clear what these companies are doing when they go back home.
I find it shocking that the Asian market would steal from us. I
Why?
Wouldn't, because I just feel like they have technology completely figured out.
Oh. Mm.
Well, there are just a lot of people who just travel to our U.S.-based event to do business in China, too, and other countries. So it's like pretty much every, like, it's very international. And it's just because Vegas is so big, it ends up being like a big ground for everyone to meet. But yeah, I know what you're saying. Like, why do they count on this? Because they want to scrub their image. I mean, they have a lot of bad press, and suddenly, oh, what was the most recent thing? Oh, they got an award at CES. You know, so that's the kind of thing we all have to maybe look a little closer into sometimes.
That is like, you know, Bill, I know you would like to go to the New York Toy Show.
Yeah.
I'm surprised I don't go to the Consumer Electronics Show. I
mean, I've been there a few times. It's so much fun.
I would
it's
love
amazing.
It.
Yeah.
Facebook.
It's overwhelming. It's so
yeah.
much stuff.
I could imagine that would be. Facebook and their Portal TV, first of all, what is it and why should no one buy it?
Yeah, this is a bit of a wild review at CNET. The headline is, no one should buy the Facebook Portal TV. What it is like a bar that you would put on top of your television set, and it lets you video chat from the couch. So you're putting the camera on top of your television, so at any point in time when you're sitting in the living room, you could just call up a friend who uses Facebook for video chatting or the app WhatsApp. And our reviewer's like, listen, I've tested tech for 6 years. This is the first time I just have to flat out say, do not buy it. Not because of, you know, maybe it doesn't turn on or doesn't work. That typically is the reason why a gadget wouldn't be recommended, but it's because time and time again, Facebook is just not answering to, like, all their privacy issues, how they're using the data. It's like, how could you want to give this company a camera into your home? So, you know, this is an interesting time for Facebook. Here they're trying to push out more cameras and, you know, say, trust us, you know, and yet at the same time they keep flubbing. They keep tripping over basic issues. And so it's a call you have to make as a consumer, you know, like, are you going to be okay with that? Or do you want to buy a camera from them?
Bridget, can I ask a question? I'm very curious. When somebody writes an article that's so damning and the title is No One Should Buy a Facebook Portal TV, does Facebook ever respond to you? Do they come back and say, hey, what you wrote, it's not fair. Can we give our side of the story, or do they just leave it alone?
Well, we've asked them for their side, and they refused to comment. Oh. So I'm sure, yes, they will talk to that person off the record and be like, you know, this isn't fair, but it doesn't change, like, what we may come up with our opinion in either case. A lot of times if I'm reviewing something and I have a problem with a gadget, I will call them up and be like, hey, listen, this didn't work for this X, Y, and Z reason. I try to give them a chance to help me troubleshoot, and I'll lay it out in my review of what happened, but I try to at least give the company a chance. And in this case, Facebook refused to comment for this piece.
I know we've talked about this before with you and with our listeners, and it finally happened to me last night. I was sitting in the living room and debating whether or not we should order this awesome salmon from a place called Barrel House in LaGrange, and I was talking to my son Michael about it, and then I picked up my phone and I was looking at Facebook, and an ad for Barrel House came up, and Michael says to me, you know your phone is listening to you. It totally is. I never believed this before, but I didn't do anything. It just popped up. So now I'm scared to even use my phone.
Yeah, you're not alone, and it's making us kind of having to rethink, all right, all this free social media does come with a cost of advertising. But when it comes to our privacy, we have to start weighing how important some things are and how many strikes you're going to give a company before you say, hey, you know what? My business isn't worth it, you know, and maybe I could talk with my friends in some other way, you know.
Yeah, I don't like it. It really scared me for the first time.
It's an intrusion.
And we're kind of out of time here, but I want you to promote CNET's editor's top picks for the holiday gift guide of 2019. Why don't you give a couple of items, and then the whole list can be found at CNET.com. I can't wait for Christmas.
Oh, there's so much stuff on this list. We have like search for, like, if you're looking for moms or kids, we have it really broken down in a lot of different ways. That said, there are already sales right now. We have an article that went up fresh today, the best Black Friday deal so far. I'm sorry to invoke the name Black Friday, but there's like arcade machines. The Amazon Echo Show is a little screen device. It's $60. It's cheaper than it was on Amazon Prime Day. There's different smart watches, even the Apple Series 3 model. They're on 5 now, but if you go 2 models back, that's $100 off. It's $200. So a lot of deals already now. I think you see Christmas in the stores, you know, and the deal's already started. So there you go.
Bridget, one of the best things about your holiday gift guide over at CNET is every price range is mentioned. There are things that are very, very low price. There are things that are very expensive. But there really is, I know it's cliche, but there is something for everybody on this list, right?
Yes, there is. Lots of stocking stuffers and all the way up to the big splurge items.
You know, what blows me away is we got a 70-inch TV several years ago. It was a 4K, not a lot of 4K going on at the time. I still don't know if I'm ever watching 4K. Mm-hmm. And it was very expensive. It was in the thousands. Now you can get a 65-inch television, a 4K, for $800. I mean, yeah. I can't believe how low TVs have gone.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, Vizio has one that just sold out. It was 4K at 65 inches. It was at $500.
Jeez.
So, a lot of the 60 and 50-inch range, that's going to be hot this year.
All right, well, we look forward to it, and we look forward to talking to you again on next Tech Tuesday. She's Bridget Carey, Senior Editor at CNET. You can find her at CNET.com or Twitter, Instagram, at Bridget Carey or at Bridget Happens. Thank you so much.
All right, thanks. Talk to you later, guys.
Thank you, Jen. It's Bill Leff. It's Wendy Snyder. It is WGN Radio. And we're going to get serious. Every once in a while, we get serious on this show. And November marks Lung Cancer Awareness Month. I know the Great American Smokeout is coming up later this month. This all goes hand in hand. So we have thoracic surgeon over at Northwestern Medicine, Dr. Samuel Kim, making a return comeback. How are you, Dr. Kim?
Very good. Thank you.
All right. You were up last time. We were talking about e-cigarettes and vaping and the stuff that was going around. And as someone who has smoked a good portion of her life, I have quit. I have started again. You and I were talking off the air about a lung scan. Am I saying that correctly?
Yes, a lung cancer screening CT scan. So you know, right now the Medicare actually approves these low-dose radiation CT scan to screen for lung cancer in those people with high risk factors.
Mm-hmm.
When I say high risk factor, those are patients who are in their age between 55 to 80,
yeah.
who has a greater than 30 pack year smoking history. Meaning that, you know, number of years they smoke times the number of pack they smoke per year,
yeah.
per day, and who are active smokers.
So explain
smoker,
that again, like 30 packs?
Pack years, meaning that...
One pack a day for 30 years?
Yeah. Or you smoke three packs per, you know, for 10 years.
Or you just had a crazy weekend where you smoked 1,000 cigarettes.
Right, exactly. Well,
so I fall in that range. You don't have to be a current smoker to do this. It's past damage, correct?
Right. So you, either you're an active smoker or those people who quit smoking last 15 years.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there are other people who are also at risk, but since you know we cannot screen all these people, these are the high, you know, most at risk right now.
Yeah.
So those are the people who qualify for this low-dose radiation CT scan.
How often would they go in for a scan like this?
So do you will actually get a one-time CT scan,
yeah.
and then if they find a nodule that are either suspicious or not suspicious, depends on how suspicious you are, you're either going to see a surgeon like myself or,
yeah.
or intervention pulmonologist, or your pulmonologist or physician will continue to follow those nodules along to make sure that those nodules don't grow. But it is important to get a first CT scan to see where you're at.
Yeah.
The reason why, you know, a CT scan, low-dose CT scan is much better than the traditional x-rays, because x-ray could find a nodule that is sized about a dime.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas in the low-dose radiation CT scan could identify a nodule that is small as a grain of rice.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason why this is important is because if you are able to detect the cancer at the earliest stage, with just a conventional surgery alone, the chance of cure just with a surgery will be up to 80-90%. But once the cancer starts to grow and get bigger,
yeah.
the chance of cure with just a surgery will go down significantly. And then, you know, where a patient may need radiation chemotherapy,
yeah.
depends on whether cancer spread or not.
So it is one of those cancers that the sooner it's detected, the better.
Of course.
Timing is everything.
So, you know, in a given year in America, about 230,000, well, I'm talking 230,000 people get diagnosed with lung cancer. And of those, more than 150,000 people die each year of lung cancer. That's almost about three times of a people die from lung cancer compared to those people who are in a Vietnam War and died. So that's a lot of people who die each year. And the reason why people die of lung cancer is because they were detected too late.
Symptoms don't show up till it's already
exactly
happening.
Right. So in a lifetime, people who comes in with a let's say with a lung nodule and diagnosed with a lung cancer, over 80% of people come in already too late, meaning that late stage 3 and 4 cancer. Only about 20% of people who comes to my clinic or anybody's clinic with a diagnosis of lung cancer will come in with stage 1 and 2 cancer.
Yeah.
So, of course, all these people who show up diagnosed with lung cancer, majority of people ended up dying because they are diagnosed too late. The hope is that because now that these low-dose radiation CT scans are approved, we're trying to detect this cancer much earlier, intervene much earlier so that they could actually cure the lung cancer instead of dying from
that it. Is amazing to me. I'm kind of curious. When we spoke off the air, I said, do you need an order from your physician to get this? And you said yes. And, you know, doctors should be looking at risk factors. I'm over 55, just barely. Adding up all the years I smoked, it's definitely 30 years worth. And why wasn't it suggested to me?
Well, so, I mean, you know, that's why it's, you know, person like my job to actually not only educate the patients, but also the physicians too. Because the lung cancer screening actually is kind of relatively young, early thing, you know. It's been only approved for past 5 years now. And not all the physicians, who are meeting your regular patient may not even aware of it or not even thinking about it. Maybe it's not in their workflow to order these things.
That's true. And I have a great doctor,
yeah,
you know.
And then I have a patient who comes from referral from very good physicians, internists, who may not even aware of it.
Mm-hmm.
And patient got a routine chest x-ray for something else, or was getting a workup for their knee operation,
yeah,
and happened to find a small nodule on a screening, just regular x-ray, and then came come to see me. So I wouldn't fault the physician for it.
Yeah.
I think it's both onus on both patients themselves,
sure,
and then physician together to really, you know, be a more, almost an advocate for
right,
the healthcare, especially in this month of November, which is the Lung Cancer Awareness Month.
Right, and the Great American Smoke Out date is November 21st. I know you hate to share that with your birthday.
No, it's all right. It's okay. cigarettes, certainly a major contributing factor to lung cancer, but every once in a while, somebody will get lung cancer who's never even gone close to a cigarette. What's that all about?
Well, so, I mean, there are genetic factors, you know, especially, you know, we think of it, you know, there's non-smoker, female, maybe in the Asian origin, you know, there's a certain genetic types that are predisposed to getting a lung cancer.
Yeah.
Also, exposure to radon. Now, I never lived in a house with a basement before until just recently moved to Chicago.
And mm-hmm, they did a radon test.
Right. And radon is increase your risk for lung cancer significantly, too. And in the past, you know, never people really didn't even know about what radon was. So, and nobody really did any detection in a system or a marker for the their basement either. So they had a tremendous amount of exposure to it as well.
Yeah.
Secondhand smoking, obviously.
Yeah.
Exposure to asbestos. These are all risk factor for getting a lung cancer.
We're talking to Dr. Samuel Kim. He's a thoracic surgeon at Northwestern Medicine. We are going to continue talking about this. There are still a lot of smokers. We're going to take a quick break, but it's one of those things where, you know, people will say, oh, I have lung cancer. And a lot of people will then go, well, you shouldn't have smoked. It's not that easy. We'll discuss that when we come back. This segment is sponsored by Northwestern Medicine, relentless in their pursuit of better health care.
Dr. Samuel Kim is here, thoracic surgeon at Northwestern Medicine. We're discussing Lung Cancer Awareness Month. It's this month. You were telling us something off the air that I want to talk about on air, and that is the idea that if you don't smoke for a while, your lung can somehow repair itself. That's not completely true, right?
Yeah, so the lung would not regenerate, per se, or regrow like a liver.
Yeah.
But by quitting smoking, it actually, there's a tremendous amount of health benefit, and it does improve some of your lung function, per se.
Yeah.
But it will never be the same as what it was before the surgery, before the smoking.
Yep.
You can read, you know, I've smoked on and off for many, many years, and there are a lot of people that I'm kind of surprised still smoke. We know it's not good for us. It is hard to quit. I've managed to quit, but I've started up again. And a lot of people, I'm not saying they say it serves you right, but for some reason, if you get lung cancer and you are a smoker, people are like, well, so be it. We have to change that view.
Yeah, of course. And that's the stigma behind the lung cancer and smoking. And that's why I think, in my opinion, the lung cancer has not been really appreciated, the significance of it. Because, as I told you, lung cancer is the number one cancer death in the United States by far.
That surprises me.
You would
me.
Actually have to add people die from breast cancer, colon cancer, prostate cancer, and pancreatic cancer all combined. All together to equal the people dying from lung cancer. So, and we should be really, you know, screaming from top of a lung,
sure,
about lung cancer.
Sure.
And somebody like me who deals with a patient with a lung cancer, I wish that every month is the Lung Cancer Awareness Month.
Yeah.
Because of something like this. So just going back to your point, you know, the nicotine, smoking is a very addictive product. And that's why it's so hard for people to quit. So if we have a people around us who has smoking and nicotine issue, we really need to be supportive why they're smoking in the first place, and then try to assist and help them quit smoking. And the, you know, heartbreaking thing is that, and I recently had a patient who came with a lung cancer.
Yeah.
And fortunate thing is that we detected early, and we're going to operate and ask him whether he smokes or not. And he said he does. And even though he was diagnosed with a lung cancer, and I'm about to operate on the patient, he's just telling
still
me
smoking.
That he just cannot quit. Even though he has a lung cancer.
Horrible.
You know, so I could see that how powerful the nicotine addiction is.
Well, I know we discussed the idea of vaping last time and the dangers of vaping, but for a little while there, people thought, oh, this is a healthier alternative to smoking cigarettes is vaping. We're finding out now that that's not quite the case. So what do people do if vaping is off the table as an option? What's their next move?
Well, so there are, you know, the nicotine gum.
The patches, gum works. You know, that's how I've quit every
patch.
Time.
And
patch works.
So
you gotta want to quit.
Well, exactly. You know, you have to quit, and then I think, you know, cold turkey probably works the best way.
Sure.
And then, you know, maybe try to get the stressors off of your life. You know, there are triggers that make you smoke, and then ultimately, you really have to have a support system help you around. You know, to quit this it's this addiction.
Yeah.
It's really addiction, and it's very hard to get rid of it. And
shaming doesn't work. Your kids yelling at you doesn't work.
Right.
You got to really want to do it.
And if it was something easy, then it would have been already stopped altogether.
Right.
Because we knew how dangerous the smoking is past 30 years already. And yet we still have epidemic problem with the nicotine abuse.
To Wendy's point, it's true that shaming doesn't work, but you got to put yourself on the shamer's end of it where you say, I'm seeing somebody I care about destroying themselves. What's wrong with me if I don't do or say something?
Right.
You know?
Well, but if the diagnosis of lung cancer doesn't, you know, make
that
you quit,
doesn't jolt you, what will?
Then, you know, you got to think about how powerful that addiction really is.
Yeah.
So I think we need all the help we need, Ken. And
so,
there are professional helps, too.
Sure.
Your doctors have a lot of resources. I think, you know, talk to your doctors about how I could quit smoking, and they'll help you.
You know, it's really kind of a huge freeing thing, because when you smoke, you don't even enjoy going to a movie because you can't wait for the movie to get out so you can have a cigarette. When you don't have that monkey on your back, which Bill was excited about.
Thought you meant you actually did get a monkey.
No, you don't. Huh. But when you, that, it actually, once you get over the withdrawal and the habit, you know, you can, I bought this stupid thing on Amazon. It's a fake cigarette, but you can just kind of pretend you're smoking it for the oral fixation part of it. It's like once you quit completely, you have less stress. Because you're not worried about when you're going to smoke again.
Right.
And it's just so hard.
It really is. And then, you know, important thing, you know, I think, you know, I really want to, you know, emphasize why I'm here is that those people who are active smokers right now or who are at risk, and then those people who in past 15 years who had a, you know, smoking history, do consult your doctors about getting a screening CT scan. Because it really makes a huge difference. And if you do find a nodule or a suspicious finding in the cancer, go see a specialist like myself who are dealing with these problems every day.
Mm-hmm.
Because there are some exciting, actually, advancements in medicine that could really help you improve your quality of life and then make you survive longer. So, for instance, instead of, you know, in the traditionally when, you know, we're diagnosed with a lung cancer, you see a surgeon like me, they'll make a huge incision in your chest, break one of the ribs, and take a significant portion of your lung out in order to get rid of the cancer. Nowadays, we use a very small incision. I personally use a robot to do the operation, make sure operation much easier, able to get you home faster. You know, on average, you know, my patient will stay in the hospital 2 days for doing an operation. And instead of taking...
And that's on your lungs.
Yeah, exactly. And instead of taking a huge part of the lung, we spare a lot of lung. So those even people with a COPD or elderly patient, they tolerate the operation very well. So it's called lung-sparing segmentectomy. And the oldest patient I ever operated was 94 for lung cancer. And she came with her 88-year-old sister. They have a history of their family has a history of living past 100. She went home in 2 days.
That's amazing.
And that's not just her. There's a lot of elderly patients, COPD, marginal lung function, with the early cancer, we were able to get the cancer out. So if you're able to detect early, we could cure it.
That's the key.
All right, and that's why we're doing this today. I have to schedule this scan. Anyone listening who hits that high-risk category, 55 to 80 years old, has smoked an equivalent of a pack a year for 30 years.
Or, you know, three pack for 10 years.
Just
or
that 30.
Or anything on that ballpark, you know. Do ask your physicians about ordering a screening CT scan.
And will it be covered by insurance? Has this been cleared?
It will be covered by Medicare.
Okay. He is thoracic surgeon at Northwestern Medicine, Dr. Samuel Kim. If you have a regular doctor, bring this up to him or her. And if you are a doctor listening, start recommending it to patients that are in that risk category. And patients, don't lie to your doctor about whether or not you smoke. That's right. All I have to say.
Good idea. Thanks, Dr. Kim. Appreciate
More
it.
More information well, can be
much.
Gleaned. Where do we go?
NM.org, northwestonmedicine.org.
Thank you so much.
All right. Thank you.
I'll see you in the scan room.
It takes only about 1 minute for the CT scan, by the way.
That's so cool. You do a drive-thru on that, Wendy.
All right. Thank you so much. And the Great American Smokeout is coming up on November 21st. And good luck to all you smokers out there. We'll take a quick break. It's WGN Radio. Bill Leff, Wendy Snyder.
Thanks, Jen. It's Bill Leff and it's Wendy Snyder. Wendy, I don't know if you read the texts, but there are dozens of texts from people with varying degrees of success when it comes to quitting smoking. We had Dr. Samuel Kim on just a little while ago from Northwestern talking about the fact that it's Lung Cancer Awareness Month. And so many people were telling us over and over again that they tried this and it didn't work. They tried this, it didn't work. Several people also asking that you please go in for a screening. And to your credit, you set one up with Dr. Kim right before he left here.
Happening, yes. I don't remember what it's called, though, because there's some. It's like, just ask your doctor for a lung cancer screening, a CT screening, I believe that's what it was.
Mm-hmm.
So they should know about it. And really, if doctors are listening, I love my doctor and he's awesome and he's really on top of everything. But this is a relatively new thing and I don't know if doctors know to prescribe it. So we're here to spread the word.
My dad smoked for many, many years and we tried everything to get him to quit smoking. He just didn't work for him. And then eventually, somebody close to him, his boss at work, had a discussion with him. And he stopped and never smoked again.
Did the boss say, I'm firing you if you don't quit?
The boss, I wasn't in on the meeting, but from what my dad told us at the time, he kind of laid it all out. And it was all things that we had tried to tell him in the past, like, this is going to kill you.
But
you know,
when you smoke and you hear that, you know, we know that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I know.
And like bacon is not really good for you, and that can cause issues and cancer because there's nitrites in it.
Right.
You know, and if someone's enjoying a BLT, you're not going to go, don't eat that.
Right.
It's going to give you cancer.
Right. Don't smoke cigarettes. Don't smoke bacon. Those are the rules.
Oh, you can smoke bacon.
Oh,
that's how it gets. It's great flavor.
All right. I take that back then.
But yeah, it's just ask your doctor. You can look it up, and we'll put. Jasmine, we have to figure out what this is called. I think it is a CT lung cancer screening. That's what you want to ask your doctor about. And you need an order from your doctor to get it done.
To make that happen.
Yeah.
But as he explained, more times than not, your insurance will cover it.
If you're in that high-risk category.
Don't you think that, to some extent, people are afraid if they have smoked for decades of what they're going to find on one of those? I'm sure that plays into it a little bit, right?
That happens a lot. That's why a lot of people put off going to the doctor at all, for a yearly physical.
Yeah.
I'm probably a couple years overdue. I don't think anything's wrong. It's just, you know, you put it on the back burner, but think about it, you know, to get a physical just to keep track of everything.
Right.
The earlier you find out, I do my mammograms, I'm probably due for a colonoscopy. Can you set me up over Christmas break?
Yeah. I can make that happen for you.
You have a reduced rate.
I have a punch card.
Oh, don't say punch card.
Bad wording. Horrible wording. I visited a doctor yesterday, by the way, by mistake.
You were on your pharmacy tour, you said.
It's the weirdest thing. I want to show you.
Yes.
My phone is turned off, or I would show you this text. On Saturday, I received a text from a doctor in Vernon Hills confirming an appointment. And I didn't make the appointment, but I don't know if you remember this. 2 weeks ago, I thought I had an appendicitis attack.
Yeah, I found out from Bertrand. You didn't
tell
me.
Tell you? I was at my health club and I was running, and all of a sudden, everything felt out of place in and around my appendix area. And I thought, oh, I've never had an appendicitis. I've never had an appendix. I bet this is what it is. So I stopped running. I called and I went to an immediate care place, one of those
we'll get you in,
right? And you know me, I don't like to visit the doctors.
No.
I'm not good with stuff like that. But I really thought my appendix was bursting or something. So I went in and they did some tests. And what they determined was it was just a pulled muscle, that somehow during the running, I pulled a muscle in that region.
You're getting older.
I know. So everything was fine.
Thank God.
There was some lingering pain in days that followed. But then on Saturday, I got a text from an internist located in Vernon Hills. And I went, well, I didn't make this appointment, but obviously somebody at urgent care called them and said it's a follow-up. So then yesterday, I went in for a visit, and it turned out it wasn't for me. They sent
the text
to somebody else.
You didn't check first?
Well, I called back on Saturday. I got this text Saturday afternoon, and I called back, and there was no one in the office. The office had already closed.
Right, because Saturday hours usually
earlier. So I went, well, Vernon Hills isn't that far, and it's a lovely time of year to see Vernon Hills. I'll just drive over. And I went over, and I had a long talk with the woman behind the desk who assured me that somebody had an appointment, but it wasn't me. And then as I'm leaving, I go, well, I guess I'll see you next week. And she panicked, and she goes, why? What's next week? And I go, I should do a follow-up, don't you think? And she goes, no, there's no follow-up. You're not supposed to be here.
I can't believe you didn't call just to clarify.
The office opened at 9 o'clock, and I thought, to get there on time, I'm going to have to get ready and drive over.
What time was the appointment?
9 o'clock.
Dude, unless you make it,
yeah. I just assume that's part of the service they provide at this emergency care place, where they then set up a follow-up for you.
But they'd have to clear it to make sure you weren't at work.
That's the part that I thought was a little unusual. And it worked out that I was off yesterday, or else I would have done a little more investigation behind it.
Don't you talk to your wife about these things?
Nah, she's just amused by it all. She said to me, you're the only person that shows up to doctor's appointments that aren't yours. I go, I want to make sure everybody's okay.
A doctor's appointment that you didn't even make.
Right. I know that.
Don't you at some point think about running things past Terry, the voice of reason?
It doesn't end well when I do that. She would have said, and actually she did, when all was said and done, she goes, next time you want to call first on that. I go, yeah, next time I will definitely call first. But I thought this was done so efficiently that now they don't even bother the patient. They just set everything up. You just have to show up at a certain place and time.
Yeah, but if you're at work, how does that work?
Yeah. She also asked me what my limit was. Like, Vernon Hills is 25 minutes from my house. Like, she said, what would the cutoff have been spatially where you would have questioned it?
Bolingbrook.
I said, state line.
Oh.
Like, if it was in the state of Illinois, somewhere within the state of Illinois, I would have gone to see if it was me. But if it was somewhere like in Indiana, Wisconsin, Missouri, a neighboring state, I would have called first.
Can I tell you a sad text we just got?
Oh, no.
But it's happy sad. 630
it's happy and
said,
sad at the same time?
Yeah. 630 right. Said, Dad stopped smoking when his Alzheimer's got so bad that Mom would tell him that she'd get him cigarettes the next time she went to the store, and then Dad would forget in the meantime. It's so sad. But he quit
that's
smoking.
That's more sad than happy, but yeah.
Yeah.
Isn't it strange, though, that some people have the ability, like a light switch, to just turn, like, my dad smoked, I think, for 30 years, 25 or 30 years when he stopped, and then just never smoked again. And I've asked him, I go, did you ever miss it? And he goes, oh, yeah, you miss it.
Oh, yeah.
But
he's a smart man, because I have quit so many times and I've started so many times, because you think you could just be a social smoker and have one cigarette and it won't turn into a pack a day again. It can't.
But that's what addiction specialists teach you, is that there's no such thing as a social smoker, a social drinker, a social gambler. You're either in or you're not in, you know.
I'm also addicted to Ashton Kutcher.
Wendy, it's so ironic you say that, because we have a story about exactly that. Let's take a break.
I'm not even kidding. I am. I love him and everything about him.
Well, someone else is in the news who has a similar addiction to one Ashton Kutcher, and I will tell you that story in just a little bit. Wendy, just moments ago, you said that you have an addiction to Ashton Kutcher.
Like Butcher.
Yeah. He should have been a Butcher. Butcher Kutcher would have been great. You're not the only one who has an addiction to Ashton Kutcher. It turns out that his former wife, Demi Moore, is it now Demi or is it back to Demi? because it was Demi Moore, and then she made it Demi Moore for a little while. I don't know if we're back to the original or the new.
Demi Kutcher.
Yeah, for a while. But she says that she had an addiction to him, and it was devastating. Here's the story. Now, keep in mind, here's the question in my head as I'm telling you the story. That's a bad thing. An addiction to anything is bad, right? Because that means it's preoccupying way too much of your time.
Yes.
But if you are going to have an addiction to something, the person you're married to, that would be...
Addiction is the wrong
bad?
Word.
Is it still bad?
Like, how about smitten, in love with?
Yeah.
But addiction is...
That's too much.
Yeah.
That means time
She's
you're spending...
She's going to stalk him.
Yeah, well, they were married. So I don't know. I mean,
yeah.
At the time. So I don't know if stalking would be...
wrong.
Right. You couldn't, if you were him... You couldn't call the police and go, this woman, everywhere I go, this woman shows up.
Yes, you could.
Who is she? Well, she's my wife.
Yeah, but if she started, like, you know, showing up everywhere.
Yeah, like where he was working, like on the set of Dude, Where's My Car?
Where did he hook up with Mila Kunis? I love them together,
that
by the way.
That was on that 70s show.
Yeah, but then she was married to him, and then he was in a hot tub with somebody. What if all of a sudden her head popped up out of the hot tub? That's an addiction. And you could call the police.
That would combine both a scuba diving addiction and an addiction to your husband at the same time. I don't think that
and bubbles.
There's very few crossover sets on that one. Demi Moore is opening up about her struggles with her ex-husband Ashton Kutcher and the effects of their relationship on the three daughters. Here's what she says. These are Demi Moore's words. The addiction and the codependency, like my addiction to Ashton, that was probably almost more devastating because it took me seriously away emotionally.
So she was addicted, what, to drugs and
she
alcohol?
She was addiction to yeah. She has one of those personalities where you're just addicted to things. But it's just odd to me. You always hear about addictions to drugs and alcohol and things like drugs and alcohol, but you rarely hear of an addiction to somebody that you're married to, do you? I don't think that I've ever heard that before.
She's just trying to get it mentioned. Because no one...
Do you think that's what it is?
No, I don't know. I kind of. I really do.
She sat down with the hosts of the show Red Table Talk. Are you familiar with that show?
It's Jada Pinkett's show.
Oh, it is?
Okay.
All right. Here's who are the... You're right, Jazz. Here are the hosts or hostesses. Jada Pinkett Smith, Willow Smith, Adrian Banfield Norris. I'm not sure who that is.
I thought you were going to say Adrienne Barbeau.
Adrienne Barbeau. She's not mentioned in this story at all. One of the daughters, Tallulah, age 25, spoke about the repercussions of her mother's addiction and what it had on her older sister's rumor and scout.
So addiction to drugs or alcohol, that's what she's talking about.
I think so, but she, Demi Moore, is comparing it. She's saying how her addiction to those elements were similar to her addiction to her husband. I don't remember ever hearing anybody, as much as you love the person you're married to, the word addiction doesn't seem right, does it? Although maybe for her it was
for
the more
her,
accurate,
yeah,
because right?
He was Ashton Kutcher, for gosh sakes.
Yeah,
yeah, she had a drug addiction and relapses.
Yeah.
So, yes, she's talking mainly
about
her
that.
Drug addiction was like her addiction to Ashton Kutcher.
Yeah.
Her butcher.
Yeah. No, he's not actually a butcher. It just rhymes. Watching the behavior with Ashton those years, because everybody had left the house and it was just me living there, I felt very forgotten, and I feel like I developed and nurtured a narrative where she didn't love me and I truly believed it, said her daughter Tallulah. I know that she does 100%, but in the moment you are hurt. Which of the sisters did we have on the show a couple
rumor.
Of years? It was Rumor?
Yeah.
She's the oldest of the three, right?
I'm not sure.
I'm almost positive. Yeah.
Rumor, Scout,
oldest.
And Tallulah.
Yeah. Yep.
I'm doing a biography on them.
Here's what's strange in her. Are you?
No, but it's weird.
What
I
a
know
great project
names.
To be part of. The strangest part to me that she's referring to this as an addiction, and I'm no expert, so if she says it's an addiction, I'm buying into it, is the story I told you that he has himself talked about that when he was growing up, he had a poster of her, of Demi Moore, in his room when he was a teenager. So if somebody said then, at some point, one of you will be addicted to the other one, you'd go, well, it's going to be him addicted to her. He's a kid. He's got her poster up in his room.
I'm sure there was both ways. And what is it Tallulah that's saying? She's saying, you
yes.
know, it was mom was addicted to alcohol first, then drugs, then both. and was addicted to Ashton, where Tallulah didn't feel loved because all her effort was going into him.
Yeah. Yep.
So I could see that. It's not a good thing. I don't think it's a healthy thing.
We've talked to Tim Ryan about this. Actually, the best discussion we had about this with Tim Ryan was off the air one time when he was talking about...
A Man in Recovery Foundation.
Exactly.
Yes.
He was talking about the way he was able to get heroin out of his life. And he was smoking a lot. And I said, I'm curious, heroin was beatable for you, cigarettes are not. And he said, that's how addictive people are. You always need something to be addicted to.
That's kind of true.
Isn't that something, though? Like
an addictive personality,
right.
You will, you know.
Right.
My addictions change. Sometimes it's Toll House cookies I told you this. I'll go through it and make them for, I don't know, 3 weeks straight. And then it's like, oh, God, I cannot have another cookie.
So you tell me, does that count as addiction or does that count as something that you just want to kind of cross off your list? Because you've mentioned this before.
Because then now I'll go. Now I haven't had them in like a year or so. Now I feel like making them. It's a weird personality disorder. When you like something, you just keep doing it.
Get your fill of it, and then you say, I have to move on to something else.
That's me. So thankfully, my addiction doesn't take me down. But some people who have that, like, it's great, I want to just keep doing it.
Right.
They'll keep doing it forever. And unfortunately, if it's heroin or something else, you're not going to have a happy ending, probably.
A guy that I did stand up with for years was telling me, this was on a road trip one time, he was telling me the story about his sister. And his sister drank quite a bit. But then all of a sudden, he said, hey, are you not drinking anymore? And she said, I'm not. I just stopped. Like one day she just went, this isn't good. He said, but now she spends almost all of her free time at church. He goes, she used to just go every once in a while on a Sunday, but now she goes 4 or 5 times a week. And I said, I don't know enough about this, but it sounds like she's just switching addictions.
She replaced one with another.
That's exactly
it. That's what you do.
That's exactly it.
I have like a time-released addiction, or no, a time lapse. Mine is just for a short amount of time, and then I can move on. Like I wanted a Whopper for a few days in a row, and then I had Whoppers, and now I don't need one for probably a year.
When you mentioned these in the past, and actually the two examples you just gave today, they're always food-related.
Yeah.
What do you think's behind that?
I have an eating problem.
That could be part of it. But anytime you've talked about this, where there's something you focus on for a little bit of time.
And Candy Crush, which involves candy, which is food related.
Food.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Don't know.
Interesting. All right. So we'll do this. We'll take a little break. We'll come back. Wendy and I are headed toward the stream. Have you been on the stream? It couldn't be easier.
Warm. Come on in.
Come on in. Try it. Go to WGNradio.com, go to the Listen Here tab, and it'll give you a couple of options, the stream being one of them. That's where we'll be for the next hour, so join us there. Or we'll tell you what Steve has coming up on the Wintrust Business Lunch. That's all ahead on WGN.
Have you noticed Bertrand's not here today?
Yeah.
Okay.